Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Mem Tes. My Reinu left off yesterday, daf Mem Ches Amud Beis at the Mishnah, four lines up from the bottom of the Amud, so we will start there. Today's shiur, sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Lea Shalom. It's also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and captives. It's also sponsored by Elisheva and Avishai Newman in honor of the birth of their grandson to Aliza and AJ Jungreis. And it is also sponsored by the Virtual Halacha Program, a program to learn halacha at a high level under the auspices of Rav Nevensal with an option for smicha. Visit vhalacha.com for more information about the new limud beginning next week, Learning Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos. We thank all the sponsors very much for their sponsorship of the shiur. So today we are going to learn a Mishnah about what happens if you have a shor, it's more tort cases. What happens if you have a shor that intends to gore another shor, but it instead gores a woman and causes a miscarriage? So who is responsible, or is the Bala shor responsible for paying for the value of the damages occasioned by the miscarriage? In other words, the differential in value that the woman might have once she loses her baby, the assumption being, and we'll see this is questioned in the Gemara, but the assumption being that she's worth more on the slave market pregnant than she is once she has the baby. And we're going to talk about the distinctions between a shor that causes a miscarriage versus a person who intends on punching another person but instead hits a woman and causes a miscarriage. What exactly they are going to, what exactly that person is going to be obligated to pay. We're going to talk about when we say Demei Vlados, like I mentioned, the value of the Vlad. What exactly does Demei Vlados mean? How exactly does one value the Vlad? Then we're going to be introduced to a concept of also Shevach Vlados. There's Demei Vlados, there's Shevach Vlados, and we are going to talk about who has rights to the Demei Vlados and to the Shevach Vlados. In other words, you have to pay the woman. Does the woman's husband get the money? Does the woman's yarshim get the money if there is no husband? So we're going to see all about that in the Gemara, and we're going to set up that case by talking about what happens if you have a woman who doesn't have a husband and the husband doesn't have any yarshim. So who gets it? Does the woman get it, or does nobody get it, or are you exempt? And then we're going to talk about what happens in a case if you are holding on to the shtar of a ger. The ger doesn't have any yarshim, and then the ger dies. So do you get to keep the shtar? Do you get to keep the property that's referenced in the shtar? And various cases like that. We're then going to get to the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Tes Amud Beis. I doubt we're going to actually read the Mishnah, but maybe we will. We'll see how quickly we get to go. And the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Tes Amud Beis is going to talk about what happens if a person digs a bar in the Rishos HaRabim, or if the person digs a bar in his own Rishos, but the opening of the pit is in Rishos HaRabim. The liability in all sorts of those cases. So again, we left off Mem Ches Amud Beis at the Mishnah, four lines up from the bottom of the Amud, and that's where we will begin today. So says the Mishnah as follows, Shor Shahayim Miskavin L'Chaveiro V'Hika Se'isha, that you have a shor which intends to gore in other shor, but instead gores a woman, the yatsu yiladea, and she loses the baby on it, she's pregnant, and she loses the baby on account of being gored, potter midmei vlados. The shor, the bala shor, is going to be potter from paying the value of the miscarried vlad. And the reason is because only an Adam Hamazik is chayev for Dmei Vlados. A shor who gores, a shor that damages, is never chayev for Dmei Vlados. And therefore, Rashi says that when the Mishnah sets up the case that the shor intended to gore another shor and instead gores a woman, it's putter from Dmei Vlados. The reason that the Bala shor is putter from Dmei Vlados has nothing to do with the fact that the shor intended to gore another shor. Even if the shor intended to gore another person, or even if the shor intended to gore that woman and cause the miscarriage, the Baal HaShor would be putter from Dmei Vlados, because in the Torah, when it talks about two men fighting and one man intends to hit the other man but instead hits a pregnant woman and causes a miscarriage, that's the scenario in which the Torah talks about liability. only when it's an Adam HaMazik, not when it's a Shor HaMazik. So Rashi points out that the Mishnah is Lav Dafka. The reason for the Ptur is not that the Shor was having Kavan on another Shor as opposed to a person or a woman. It's that the Shor is a Shor and the Shor is not a person. And only a person is Chayiv for Dmei Vlados. Okay. Says the Mishnah, "Va'adam shayim eskavin lechavero." What if you have a person who intends to punch another person? V'ikas isha, but instead of hitting his friend, he has bad aim, so he hits a woman. V'yaltsa yiladan, the woman is pregnant and she has a miscarriage. Mishalem dmei vlados. Then he is chayav in dmei vlados. That is the scenario that is discussed in the Chumash, where the Chumash says he is chayav for dmei vlados. Says the Mishnah, we talk about dmei vlados, the value of the, but like, what's the value of the fetus? How do you value a fetus? So says the Mishnah, Ketzem Mishalim Dmei Vlados, Shamin Esa Isha Kama Hi Yafa Ad Shelo Yalda, the Kama Hi Yafa Misha Yalda. So we take the delta, we take the differential between how much the woman is worth pregnant and how much the woman is worth once she's no longer pregnant. When we talk about a woman's worth, we talk about how much she would fetch on the slave market. So how much would somebody pay for a pregnant maidservant versus how much would somebody pay for a maidservant who no longer has a baby, the assumption being that she's worth more pregnant than she is once she has a baby. We're going to see why that's the case. It's going to have something to do with the fact that she appears to be more robust. The Gemara is then going to question that because when a woman is pregnant, she's not able to do as much around the house, so she has less utility as a maidservant, but we'll get to that in the Gemara. The Mefarshim point out that if you value Dmei Vlados, if you assess Dmei Vlados, by taking the differential in the value of the woman from when she is pregnant to when she is no longer pregnant, that difference is going to be smaller than if you would actually try to sell like a baby on the slave market. Because even though a baby can't really do anything, but it's basically like buying futures. If you buy a baby on the slave market, you know that ultimately the baby is going to grow up and the baby is going to be a serviceable slave. And so it would be worth more if you would value the fetus alone, but that's not what we do. We assess the differential in the value of the woman from when she's pregnant to when she's no longer pregnant, and that's the Dmei Vlados. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Samar Rav Shem ben Gamliel, Im Keim Ish Isha Yeladas Meshabeches. In that case, it's backwards, because you can't take the value of the woman when she's pregnant, the value of the woman when she's no longer pregnant, and say, hey, pay that amount to the woman, because she's worth more when she's no longer pregnant. She's more valuable once she already gives birth. Therefore, what's the Dmei Vlados? Ela Shamanes Havlados Kamein Yafin Venosin Labal. So it says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the opposite of the Tanakama, that you actually value the Vlad. Dmei Vlados means what it sounds like. It doesn't mean that you assess the value of the woman, because the woman, Taka, is worth less when she's pregnant. She's worth more when she gives birth. So Dmei Vlados means that you assess the value of the Vlad Venosin Labal, and you give it to the husband. So we're going to see why exactly you give it to the husband. It's as if the husband has some sort of quasi-ownership of the Vlad. Like, he's responsible for the Vlad. The Gemara is going to question that, though. The main Labal, what happens if she doesn't have a husband? Let's say she had a child out of wedlock, or she had a husband when she conceived. Now the husband's no longer in the picture. So no sin liyarshav. So you give it to his yarsha, Medina Yerusha. In other words, the husband is owed something. If the husband's not around to collect, you give it to whoever yarshins the rights of the husband. Haisa shivcha v'nishtachra ogiores pater. However, if she's a shivcha who was freed, and so the person who she married was an eved, and what the Mishnah leaves out here, and the husband is dead, right? So there is no husband in the picture. Or if she's a giores who's married to a ger and the husband is dead, and the thing with an eved and a ger is that ein lem yarshim, they don't have any yarshim. So in that case, pater, the person is pater from paying. And the reason that the person is pater from paying is because you have to pay it to the baal. If there is no baal, you have to pay it to the baal's yarshim. What if there is no baal and the baal doesn't have any yarshim? Then he's off the hook. The Gemara is going to debate why it is that he doesn't have to pay the woman. So again, the case is that the husband is dead, and so if he doesn't have any yarshim, then all of his nechasim are hefker. And what's the din by hefker? The din by hefker is that whoever kola kodem zocha, so the first person to be zocha to the amount of money that would otherwise have to be paid to the baal is the mazik who's holding the money. So if he never pays, he's zocha to the money that would have gone to the baal. and therefore he is the one who is the lucky beneficiary, that there is no Baal, there are no Yarshim, and therefore he's going to get to hold on to the money. Rashi just points out over here the reason that we talk about a shifcha, sheneshtachra, or a giores who's married. The key is that the husband who's dead is either an eved amashuchrar, or a ger. So why are we talking about that the woman is a shifcha or that the woman is a giores? Who cares? The point is that the husband is a ger, or that the husband is an eved meshuchrar. So Rashi points out, because milsa agavorcha kamash malan, that in other words, the Mishnah is talking about things that happen. Usually in Shaduchim, people of a certain level of in society marry people of a similar level. So you're usually not going to find a free woman marrying an emancipated eved, or you're not going to find a giores marrying a Yisrael. And therefore we talk about a giores marrying a ger, a shivcha shenishtachra marrying an eved hamashochra. But again, the point is that no matter who the woman is, there was a husband, the husband is dead, there are no yarshim, because the dmei vlados otherwise go to the baal or to his yarshim. If there are none, the mazik is lucky and he's off the hook, he doesn't have to pay. Okay, says the Gemara now at the top of Mem Tes, Amud Aleph. So Taima, the Gemara is medayik. We spoke about a shar who intends to gore another shar and instead gores a woman and causes a miscarriage. The shar, the Baal HaShar, is going to be potter. And we pointed out that the reason that the Baal HaShar is potter is not because of the shar's intent, it's because the Pasuk, when the Pasuk talks about the Mevlados, the Pasuk talks about one person intending to hit another person, but instead it's a woman. The Torah talks about a person, not about a shar. Says the Gemara, "Taima de miskavin lechaveiro, hamiskavin leisha meshalim dmei vlados." That the mashmos, the diuk that the Gemara wants to make in the Mishnah is that the reason that the shar is potter is because the shar was intending to gore another shar. Had the shar intended to gore the woman herself, then the Baal HaShar would have to pay dmei vlados. Maybe it's a kasha in Ravada Barahava. The Amar Ravada Barahava, because Ravada Barahava says that shvarim sheniskavnu leisha p'turim dmei vlados. That if a shor, even if the shor was miskaving to gore the woman, he's still going to be putter from dmei vlados. So amar lecha ravada barahava, hu adin da filin miskavnu leisha nami p'turim dmei vlados. Yes, you are right, because we follow what's written in the Chumash. The Chumash talks about one person intending to hit another person and hitting a woman. Even if the shor intended to gore the woman, it would still be potter, the Baal HaShar would still be potter from Dmei Vlados, because the only Siba of Chiyav here is where it's a person who's causing the damage, not a Shar that's causing the damage. Vodik Tani Shar, Shayim Iskavin Lechaveiro, the reason that we talk about the Shar intending to gore another Shar is Aydi Tekaboy, the Mistin Seifa, Adam Shayim Iskavin Lechaveiro. That reason is because in the Seifa of the Mishnah, when we talk about the hypothetical with the man causing the damage, we talk about the man intending to slug his friend and instead hitting the woman. Dahachi ksiv kra, because that's the scenario that the pasuk talks about. Soktani reisha nami sharshem eskaven lechaveiro. Therefore, in order to make the cases parallel, in the reisha, when we talk about a shor, we also talk about the shor who intended to gore the shor's friend being another shor, whereas a man intends to gore his friend, it's another person. But it has nothing to do with the fact that the shor intends to gore another shor. It has to do with the fact that a person, if he causes a miscarriage, is going to be chayiv. A shor, if he causes a miscarriage, the Baal HaShar is going to be potter. Okay, says the Gemara Navaiter, four lines up from the wide lines. So I'm a Rav Papa. Shor shenogach etz ha-shifcha v'yatsu yiladea. If you have a shor that gores a shifcha and causes a miscarriage, mishalem dmei vlados. Then the Baal HaShar is chayiv for dmei vlados. Hold on a second. The shifcha is a person. The shifcha is a woman. We just said that if a shor causes a miscarriage, the Baal HaShar is going to be putter, because only an adam hamazik is going to be chayiv for causing a miscarriage. How could you tell me that if a shor gores a shifcha and causes a miscarriage, the Baal HaShar is all of a sudden going to be chayiv? That doesn't make any sense. The shor didn't turn into a man. Why is the shor chayiv? Says the Gemara, my taima chamrata mabarta bialma hu da'azik. Because we don't view the shifcha as a woman. We view her stam as a pregnant donkey. So what's the raya? Damar krosh, vulu chempo, machamor, ama doma lachamor. Because in the parsha of the Akedah, where Avram is taking Yitzchak to the Akedah and says to Eliezer and Yishmael, Shvulach Hampar Imal Chamor, and Rashi points out, Amadoma Lachamor, he's basically saying, hey, hang back here with Eliezer, because Eliezer was an Eved, and therefore he's an Amadoma Lachamor. So the Gemara here takes that literally, even though, the Gemara takes it literally, that it's mamish like a chamor. So in other words, we don't view it as the shor causing damage to a person. We view it as the shor causing damage to another animal, and if a shor causes damage to another animal, the Baal HaShor is going to be chayiv, and therefore, even though ordinarily the Baal HaShor is going to be potter if his shor causes a miscarriage, over here, if he causes a miscarriage to a shivcha, the shivcha is considered to be like chattel, and therefore the Baal HaShor is then going to be chayiv in that case. Okay, says the Gemara now with the two dots, first wide line. Ketzav Meshalem Dmei Vlados. So now we're going to get into the concept of Dmei Vlados. We saw already the Machlokas in the Mishnah, where the Tanakhama says that we assess Dmei Vlados by taking the value of the woman while she's pregnant, the decreased value of the woman after she miscarries, that's the Dmei Vlados. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, no, that's not the way it works, because in fact the woman is worth more after she's no longer pregnant. Therefore, we actually value the Vlad itself. So says the Gemara, Dmei Vlados, when you talk about Dmei Vlados, Shevach Vlados mi boile, that it's really the Shevach Vlados. It's not really the value of the Vlad, it's the enhanced value of the woman on account of the Vlad, meaning that the woman who's pregnant is more valuable, A, because of the potential that she's carrying, because if you buy her on the slave market, you're buying not only a woman, but you're also buying the rights to her baby. But in addition to that, she also looks much more robust. It looks like she's much more capable and strong. Says the Gemara, yeah, hachinami kamar. Ketza mashalim dmei vlados vishevach vlados. That's really what the Gemara means. The Gemara is now introducing sort of like a little bit of an adjunct concept here. That we talk about dmei vlados, then we talk about shevach vlados. Sheminas isha kami yafa atshalo yolda v'kami yafa misha yolda. That we assess the value of the woman when she's pregnant, the decreased value of the woman when she is no longer pregnant, and that is the Dmei Vlados and the Shevach Vlados. And if you look in Rashi, Rashi points out that this Dmei Vlados, that this type of assessment that we're talking about here, is separate and aside from any other, separate and aside from any other nezek that he caused. Meaning, obviously, there is a decrease in the value of the woman, but let's say the woman was also physically injured in the goring, in the incident, so the damages caused by the physical injury, that nezek gets paid to the woman. The thing that gets paid to the husband is the Dmei Vlados and Shevach Vlados. We'll see, not so fast. The Dmei Vlados goes to the husband. The Shevach Vlados, they actually split, but Rashi points out, he's careful to point out here, that whenever we talk about the husband getting paid for the damage caused to the woman, that's only legabe, the loss in value on account of the loss of the pregnancy. Other damage actually caused to the woman herself, if she breaks her arm in the, for example, in the goring, that nezek has to be paid by the Baal HaShor in addition, and that nezek gets paid to the woman. Says the Gemara, that now the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so I'm Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, MK Mishisha Yeledas Meshabechas. You can't tell me that you assess the Dmei Vlados by valuing the woman when she's pregnant and then valuing the woman when she's no longer pregnant, because that implies that she's worth more pregnant than she is once she's miscarried, but that's not true. She's actually worth less pregnant because she's less serviceable as a shivcha. She's less serviceable as a slave. So says the Gemara, my kamar. What's he talking about here? Sama rabba achi kamar. This is what he means. V'chi isha meshabeches kodem shetelid yoster melacha shetelid. Is a woman worth more before she gives birth than she is after she gives birth? V'lo isha meshabeches la'achar shetelid yoster mikodem shetelid. No, on the contrary, the woman is worth more after she gives birth than she is before she gives birth. And the reason is because when she's pregnant, there's a danger that she's going to die in childbirth, and therefore nobody is going to pay more for a woman who is there. Nobody is going to pay more for a woman who is pregnant. She can't work as much when she's pregnant. There's a danger that she's going to be dead. You're not going to tell me, oh, you're buying her with the expectation that she's going to do work after she gives birth. Because who knows, childbirth in the times of the Gemara was not like childbirth today. Thank God today, Baruch Hashem, it's very smooth most of the time. But over here, in the time of the Gemara, it was a very serious issue. So nobody's going to pay more. So, Ela Shemen Esavlodos Fenosin Labal. Rather, you actually value the vlados themselves, and you give that value to the Baal. So that's why Rav Shimon Gamliel takes it literally, that the May vlados actually means the value of the vlad, not some assessment of the decrease in value of the woman. Tani Nami Yochi, so we learn a brisa that is similar. You mean to tell me that the woman is worth more pregnant than she is once she has a miscarriage? She's worth more after she gives birth than before she gives birth. Rather, you assess the vlados themselves and you give it to the vlad, and you give it to the baal, rather. Rava Amar Hachitani. So Rava says, no, we learn as follows. Says Rava, the Gemara is more bothered by a fundamental issue. In other words, you have the woman who's pregnant, the woman is carrying the baby for 9 months, she's going to experience a tzar leida, and you say that if you cause a miscarriage, you give all of the money to the husband? That's crazy, right? So, Ela Shamanes Avlados Venosim Labal, rather, what happens is like this. We talk about the Mevlados, and we talk about Shevach Vlados. So you value the Vlad itself, and you give that amount to the Baal, because for some reason, again, we don't really understand this based on today's sensibilities, even if one is not woke, but the way that the Gemara understands is that somehow the seed that the man implanted in the woman belongs to the, whatever. I mean, that's what the Gemara says, so we're going to take the Gemara at its word that it somehow belongs to the husband. However, the Shevach Vlados, but not the Dmei Vlados. The Dmei Vlados is the value of the Vlad. The Shevach Vlados, the enhancement of the Vlad. And what's the enhancement of the Vlad? It's the fact that the woman expands when she's pregnant. She looks more robust. Cholkin. That they divide. So why would they divide that? So they divide that because that comes on account of both of them, says Rashi. What does it mean it comes on account of both of them? It comes on account of the husband because the husband made her pregnant, but it comes on account of the wife because the wife's body is expanding. So the Gemara said it doesn't seem equitable that the husband should get all of the value of the baby, and the Gemara winds up answering something that might not be satisfying to us, but yeah, it's a little bit more equitable at least. In other words, the Dmei Vlados, the actual value of the Vlad, the husband gets, the Shevach Vlados, the enhanced value of the woman on account of being pregnant, that they divide, because they're both responsible for that. Says the Gemara now, Vayter. Tanya Nami Hachi. So Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, v'chi isha l'misha yeladas mishabeches, in other words, according to Rava's explanation here, that what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was bothered by was not the fact, but the woman is worth more after she gives birth than before she gives birth. What Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was bothered by is, Tanakama, why do you say that the husband gets the Dmei Vlados? That's not fair. V'chi isha l'misha yeladas mishabeches v'in la'atzman b'shevach v'ladas klom. Based on your reasoning, Tanakama, the woman wouldn't get to keep any of the damages. Elishamin nezek bifnei asmo. Therefore, we do as follows: you value the nezek bifnei asmo. In other words, that the value that's not associated with the woman miscarrying. Bitzar bifnei atzmo, and you value the tsar bifnei atzmo, that if the woman experiences any tsar or ripu sheves boshes, that all goes to the woman. V'shamanes avlados v'nosin labal, you value the vlados themselves, and yeah, you taka give that amount to the baal. V'shevach vlados, and the expansion of the woman, chalken, that they divide. So says the Gemara, kasha the Rav Shimon Gamliel the Rav Shimon Gamliel. But now you have a kasha Rav Shimon Gamliel on Rav Shimon Gamliel. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said pretty expressly, is the woman worth more pregnant than she is not pregnant? No, she's worth more afterwards. But now when you tell me that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that you divide the Shevach Vlados, the value of her expansion, it's mashma that she's worth more pregnant because she appears to be more robust than she is once she has a baby. So now you've created a stira in the shita of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Says the Gemara, lo kasha, kan b'mafkeres, kan b'sheinim mafkeres. In the Mishnah, we're talking about a firstborn. So when the woman is experiencing her first pregnancy, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says in the Mishnah, she's not worth more pregnant, she's worth more not pregnant, because if it's her first pregnancy, we have no idea how her body is going to react to the pregnancy. We have no idea how her body is going to react to the trauma of giving birth. And therefore, she's not worth more pregnant, she's worth more not pregnant. However, once she successfully delivers a baby, and now she's on her second or third or fourth pregnancy, and we know already how she's going to react, or we have an idea as to how her body's going to react, in that case, she's worth more pregnant than she is not pregnant. So the bottom line is, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, is a woman worth more pregnant or not? It depends. If it's a woman's first pregnancy, she's worth more not pregnant. If it's a woman's second or subsequent pregnancy, she is worth more pregnant. Rabbanan de Amri Shevach Vlodas Nami Laval. But according to the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama and the Mishnah, so it's only Rabbi Shimon Gamliel who makes this, who differentiates, where Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that she that the Dmei Vlados, the actual value of the Vlad, goes to the husband, but the Shevach Vlados, the expansion, is divided. But the Tanakhama says the Baal gets everything. Why does the Baal get everything? My Taima. Kedithnan, Mimasha Shnemar V'yotsu Yiladeha. Because the Pasuk says V'yotsu Yiladeha. Any Yodea Shihara? Why do you have to tell me that she's an Isha Hara, that she's a pregnant woman, V'yotsu Yiladeha? If you talk about a hypothetical where the woman miscarries, obviously I know she was pregnant. So Matama Lomar Hara, why does it say Hara? Lomar Lecha Shevach Hirayon Labal, to teach me that the Shevach of the Hirayon, all of the Shevach that the woman experiences on account of the pregnancy, goes to the Baal. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Hai Hara Mai Darish Bei. But what does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel do with that drusha of Hara? According to him, doesn't Hara have to teach us that the Baal gets all of the Shevach? So says the Gemara, no, mi boy le l'chadetanya, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, li'olam ein achayev, ad she'akena keneged beis hirayon, that the only time a man is going to be chayev for Shevach Vlados and Dmei Vlados, if he causes a miscarriage in a woman, is if he intends to slug his friend, and he has such bad aim that he hits a woman near her beis hirayon, near her beis hirayon, near where she's showing her pregnancy. Amra Papa, it doesn't mean that you mamish have to go up to a pregnant woman's stomach and punch her in her stomach. Ella ad hecha desolik be shichma levlad. That, in other words, it has to be in a general area where the heat of the blow will reach the vlad, meaning anywhere on the torso. What does that come to exclude? La fuke yad v'regel delo. That if a man intends to hit his friend and instead punches a pregnant woman in her arm or hits a pregnant woman in her leg and causes a miscarriage, he's not going to be chayav for that because that is not direct damage. The only time it's going to be direct damage is if he hits her in the torso. Now the Yamsol Shlomo explains that even though this is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel telling me this halacha, that from Isha Hara he learns not that the husband gets all of the value from the pregnancy, but rather that he's chayav only if he hits the woman in her torso. The Yamsol Shlomo says the Rabbanan who learn Hara to teach me that the husband does get all the value of the pregnancy, they'll agree with this halacha as well, because if you hit a woman in her leg and she miscarries, that's a grum of an azikin, and a grum of an azikin is going to be potter. So it turns out everybody's going to agree with this halacha. The machlokas, Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, is does the husband get all of the value of the woman's pregnancy or not? Tanakama says yes, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says no. The husband gets the Dmei Vlados, but the Shevach Vlados, they split. Okay, says the Gemara, Vayter at the two dots. Hayeshivcha v'nishtachra, ogiyores potter. If the woman is a freed shivcha who marries an eved meshuchrar, or a giyores who marries a ger, and the husband dies, leaving no yarshim, because the damage has to be paid to the husband or his yarshim, and now there is no husband, there are no yarshim, the mazik is going to be potter. Sama rava, lo shanu ela shechaval ba b'chayi ager umeis ager. The only time we say that the guy's off the hook is where he caused the chavala, he did the damage while the ger was still alive, and then the ger dies. The kivan the chaval ba b'chayya ger zacha b'hu ger, because since the damage was caused during the lifetime of the ger, while the ger was still alive, the ger was zoche in the damages. The kivan the meis ager zacha b'min ager, and now the ger dies without yorshim,
he is zocha the damages from the ger, and therefore he's off the hook. He doesn't have to pay. Aval chavo ba la'achar mitzas ager. But let's say the woman was married to a ger. The woman conceives, then the husband dies. So the husband is already dead by the time the damage occurs. Sazachya la ihi begavayu umechayev lishlumela lidida. Then she is zocha all of the rights that her dead husband has, and the mazik has to pay the woman. The mazik is not off the hook. The mazik has to pay the woman because the woman has already succeeded to all of the rights of her dead husband. So Amar Rav Chisda, Mari Dichi, so the master of this teaching, what do you mean? So Atu Vlados Tsrarinenu Vizachibu. We're talking about a Vlad. You're talking as if we're talking about personal property. The Vlad is personal. We're talking about who has a schus. Oh, if the husband is already dead when the hezek is caused, the woman yarshened all the schus of the husband, and therefore she gets it. We're not talking about you have a silver becher, and who gets the silver becher? Either the husband's yarshim or it goes back to the woman. We're not talking about an item. We're talking about this is a baby. It's not something that's like a bundle of money that's capable of being bequeathed like this. Sel asya labal zachale rachmano lesse labal lo. No, what happens is, if there is a husband, for whatever reason, the Torah said that the husband is the one who gets to collect the damages on account of the loss of pregnancy. But if there is no husband, then it's not like a regular din of Yerusha, oh, that the rights revert to the woman. No, then the mazik is off the hook. Then nobody's going to get paid. Meisvei, frak the Gemara like this. Hikas the isha v'yatsu yuladea, that if a person hits a woman and causes a miscarriage, no se nezek v'tzar le'isha, you give nezek and tzar to isha, to the woman, v'dmei vlados laval, you give the dmei vlados to the baal, eina baal, if there is no baal, nosin le'yarshav, you give it to his yarshim, eina isha, if there is no woman, nosin le'yarsheha, you give it to her yarshim, haisa shivcha v'nishakura o giores, if she was a freed slave or a giores married to a ger or an eve meshukrar who then dies, zocha, then she is zocha. So Amri umi adifa mimasnisin du kimna shechava b'b'chai ager or meis ager. It's not a kasha. We're talking about where she was chovel b'chai ager and then the ger dies. Hachanami shechaval ba b'chai ager umeis ager. So we're talking about where the goring took place during the lifetime of the ger, and then the ger dies. And that's why he's zocha. That's why he's zocha, and he doesn't have to pay anything. So it's not a kasha. In other words, you're going to ask me a kasha. You said that the woman is zocha, and now this brisa tells me that the guy's zocha, that he doesn't have to pay. Right, the Mishnah also said the guy didn't have to pay, because the Mishnah that said that the guy didn't have to pay is where the husband was alive when the goring happened, and then he died. If the husband died before the goring happened, that's when I would say that you have to pay the woman. So, viba esema la'achar misa sager, or maybe we're talking about the goring was after the misa sager, but tani zachta. And when it says zacha, it doesn't mean zacha, it means zachta, not zacha that the mazik is ocha that he doesn't have to pay, zachsa that the woman is ocha and the woman gets it because she yarshin, she basically succeeds to the rights of the husband in getting the dmei vlados. Tosfos points out that this doesn't mean that we actually amend the brisa, we don't have to amend the brisa from zacha to zachsa, that zacha means whoever zocha. Who's the one who's zocha? It's the woman who's zocha, and it's not the mazik who's going to be zocha. Says the Gemara. Top line, mem tesam and beis. So lema ketanoi. So let's say it's like the following machlokas tanoim. Bas Yisrael shenisais leger v'nis abra bimeno. You have a Bas Yisrael who's married to a ger and becomes pregnant. V'chaval b'b'chai ager and is gored. Somebody harms her. I mean, she's not gored. Somebody damages her during the lifetime of the ger. No saying d'mei vlados leger. You have to give the d'mei vlados to the ger because he's her husband. V'achar misas ager. If the damage happens after the husband dies, tani chada chayev, v'tani chada potter. So one man the Amar says he's chayev, one man the Amar says he's potter. My love to Noe Linu. So isn't this the machlokas tanoim that one of these man the Amarim say that the woman yarshins the schus to the dmei vlados? The other man the Amar says no, the woman doesn't yarshin the schus, and therefore if there is no baal, the mazik is off the hook. Says the Gemara, la rabba vada tanoi. According to Rabbah, it is definitely going to be a machlokes tanoim because we don't know how to explain the Mandemar who says that you're potter from paying. El Rav Chista mile matanoi, but according to Rav Chista, is it necessarily a machlokes tanoim? So lo kasha, ha rabbanan, ha Rabban Shimon Gamliel. So one Mandiyamar is the rabbanan, and one Mandiyamar is Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. So in other words, that they both hold like me, that by the Demei Vlados, you're going to be potter. That the Demei Vlados, if there is no husband, you don't give it to the woman. The mazik is off the hook. Why do we then talk about the woman getting anything? Because we're not talking about the Demei Vlados, we're talking about Shevach Vlados. Remember, there was a machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Does the woman get Shevach Vlados or not? Rav Shimon Gamliel says the woman gets half of the Shevach Vlados, and she gets that half even if the husband's no longer alive. Whereas the Tanakama says she doesn't get any part of the Shevach Vlados, therefore she gets nothing. Says the Gemara, but even Rav Shimon Gamliel, my Ari Le'achar Misa, afilu mechayim nami isle palga. Why are we talking about that the husband died? According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the woman always gets half of the Shevach Vlados. Says the Gemara, yeah, mechayim isle palga le'achar misa kula. When the husband's alive, she only gets half because she has to split it with the husband. Once the husband is dead, she gets everything. Vibas ema havaha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That maybe the entire brice is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Kam b'shevach vlados, kam b'dmei vlados. When we talk about, and they're both right. In other words, when we talk about the woman getting something, we're talking about shevach vlados because that's what she gets. When we talk about the woman not getting anything, we're talking about dmei vlados because the dmei vlados, if the husband is dead, the guy is off the hook. The mazik doesn't have to pay anything. Says the Gemara, Amri, mishevach vlados lishma dmei vlados. From shevach vlados, we should learn dmei vlados, umed the Rabban Shimon Gamliel, lishma medrabanan. And from Rabban Shimon Gamliel, we should learn the shita of the rabbanan. Meaning that when Rabban Shimon Gamliel argues that the woman gets to keep part of the shevach vlados, even when the husband is alive, meaning the rabbanan only argue when the husband is alive. But if the husband is dead, they would agree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that the woman gets the Shevach Vlados. So Amri, lo. Shevach Vlados, the Shaykh Yada Begaveo, Zachaba, Bekulu, Dmei Vlados, lo Shaykh Yada Begaveo, lo Zachabe Klal. The Gemara said, from the fact that she gets to keep the Shevach Vlados, I should also learn that she keeps the Dmei Vlados. Says the Gemara, no, they're not comparable. The Shevach Vlados, remember, she gets even when she's alive. Therefore, when the husband's dead, she gets everything. The Dmei Vlados, that she doesn't get any of when the husband's alive, that she doesn't get even after the husband is dead. If a person has shtaros of a ger, if he's holding the shtar of a ger, let's say the shtar is titled to the ger's house. He's not holding the shtar because he wants the shtar. He's holding the shtar because he wants what's referenced in the shtar. Uva'ara holo achzik. And he wasn't machzik the land, and therefore he doesn't get it, even if the ger dies. V'shtore nami lo kana lava daite the shtore. And he doesn't even get to keep the shtar because he's not holding the shtar because he wants the shtar. He's holding the shtar because he wants the property that's referenced in the shtar. Aduma daite nami yeshtore. Or maybe no, he does have in mind to be machzik on the shtar. Samarle, Ani Mari, master of this teacher, answer me. V'chilatzer al pitzul chisu utzorech. Why would he want the shtar? He has to use it as a cork, as a cork for a bottle of wine. So I'm like, yeah, lutzer v'lutzer. That's why he would want the shtar, but he's machzik only in the shtar. He's not machzik in the actual land. Amar Rabba, mashkono shal Yisrael biyad ger. Let's say a Yisrael borrowed money from a ger and therefore left collateral with the ger. Umeisa ger. Now the ger dies. Uva Yisrael acher v'chzik bo. And somebody else comes and sees the dead ger. So he's able to be machzik in all his property. So he takes the mashkon that the Yisrael had. So matziyin osam yado. So we take it away from that guy. We give it back to the Yisrael whose mashkon it was. My time, huh? Keep the meis le ger pakalei shibude. Because when the ger died, the shibud went away, and now it goes back to the ownership of the original Yisrael. Mashkono shal ger biyad Yisrael. If you have a ger who borrowed money from a Jew and gives the Yisrael a mashkon, umeis ger. Now the ger dies. Uva Yisrael acher vechzik bo. And a third party comes and tries to be machzik. So the lender basically gets to keep the value of the loan, but the excess goes to the person, to the third party who was machzik. But it's sitting in the chatzer of the lender. So why doesn't the lender's chatzer kone it? Amar Rav Yosi Brachanina Chatzer Shalom Kona Lo Shalemi Daito, because the Chatzer could be Kona even Shalomi Das. So Amri Hachav Mayaskin Andalese. We're talking about where the guy is not there. So what does it matter that the guy's not there? So Kol Eicha the Isa Lidide. Diboy Makni Matzi Kani Kani Nami Chatzero. So long as he's there, where if he actually picked it up, he could be Kone. His Chatzer is also Kone. But when he's not there, when he couldn't personally make the kinyan, his chatzar can't make the kinyan on his behalf. It says the Gemara, No. If it's in his chatzar, even if he's not there, his chatzar would be kona. But the problem is that it's not in his chatzar at all. But if it's in his chatzar, the baal doesn't have to be there in order to facilitate his chatzar being kona. Mefarshim point out that's only by a chatzar a mishtameres. That's only by a guarded chatzar. However, by a chatzar sheina mishtameres, in that case, he is only kona if he's there and it's in his chatzar. Okay, so we got to the Mishnah. We'll pick up the Mishnah, God willing, tomorrow. Hope everybody has a wonderful day.